It's really fantastic to be with you this morning. I was last here myself last week, just catching up with the elders. But the last time I spoke on a Sunday morning was exactly a year ago. Exactly a year ago. But it was the 10th of February last year when Ben Saunders became an elder. Can you believe how quickly that year has gone? Doesn't that just make you feel, wow, time is going fast? So it's really great to be here. I don't need to do the bit in my notes that says who I am. Tom's done that. Thank you, Tom. Like I say, it's great to be here. And I know you're in this series looking at the book of Luke. This account that Luke wrote that we have in our Bibles almost 2,000 years after the events that were recorded. And last week, Tom was looking at the whole area of thankfulness. One of my colleagues, Dave Betts, came and visited at the end of last year, and his subject in Luke, in the passage he got, was greed. So thankfully, I don't have to do that. My message is going to be on humility and humble prayers. And we see, as you've seen throughout Luke, that Jesus often told stories, didn't he? Told parables to make a point, to make it easy for people to understand. And in the parable we're going to look at today, we've got a couple of protagonists, a couple of characters that we're going to look at. And often, when there are a couple of protagonist characters in the story, you start by thinking, which one am I? And then, when you hear who the two protagonists are, you think, I don't want to be either of them, because of who they are. So the two protagonists we have in our story are a Pharisee and a tax collector. The Pharisee and the tax collector. And before we get into the passage, I'm going to just explain. Maybe you're new to church, you're visiting. These are things that a Pharisee, we wouldn't be something we'd use in our modern day language. But it'd be good to look at what people understood about these two men, so that we can understand what Jesus wants to say to us. So tax collectors were generally hated at the time of Jesus. Things haven't changed. And were actually regarded as sinners. They were Jews who worked for the Romans, so this made them traitors. You see, people resented paying taxes to foreigners who ruled over them. See, actually, when you read the Bible and you think we're 2,000 years on, things haven't changed much. The things that Jesus said are still relevant to us today. So the tax collectors weren't paid an actual wage by the Romans, but they were expected to take extra money and keep some for themselves. And many tax collectors, as you read throughout the scriptures, were dishonest and abused this system by taking far too much. So firstly, you have the tax collectors, a group of people that weren't very well liked, often dismissed, despised, hated by the people at the time. The Pharisees, on the other hand, were an influential religious sect within Judaism. And in the time of Christ and the early church, they were very prevalent. They were part of the synagogues and what was going on there. And the word Pharisee actually comes from the Hebrew word meaning separated, set apart, and they observed the written law and thought that the Jews, and taught that all Jews should observe all 600 plus laws in the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. That's what they taught. They were very legalistic. They followed the law to the letter almost and encouraged others to do the same. They were mostly middle class businessmen and leaders of the synagogues. So we've got these two characters in this story which we're going to come to, don't worry. A tax collector who was hated, and a Pharisee who was someone who was like set apart, holy, liked the fact that they were different and had power and instructed people how they should live. So I want us to remember that's who we're thinking about when Jesus tells this following parable. We've come to Luke chapter 18 in the series. And so Here it is, Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're alive and active and working in us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for this story which you told just under 2,000 years ago and that was recorded by Luke. We thank you that it would have made a difference to the hearers at the time, and we ask that it will make a difference to us today. We thank you that your word is timeless and is good for us. May we be encouraged and challenged in the right way as we look to see you speaking to us this morning. Amen. Amen. So Jesus addressed his story, this story, to different people. As you look through Luke, you'll have seen that some of the stories were directed at different people, the apostles, or Jesus' disciples, or the gathered crowds, and sometimes his opponents. He would speak in parables and stories to different people so that they could learn something from this amazing, wise teacher. The next story is no different. This story is no different. Jesus is speaking to a particular group of people, and they are. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. So already, Luke has acknowledged that Jesus has got a point to make, a point to say to the people listening. Now, that's the awkward part, because hopefully we're not here thinking we are people who are confident of our own righteousness, look down on everyone else. Hopefully we're not. But sometimes I can be, sometimes we can be. So it can be something that will help us and teach us. So this parable is aimed at those who think they're very righteous and look down on others. That is, the Pharisees. Jesus wants to teach people the importance of praying with the right attitude, coming to God with the right attitude, coming to him with the right attitude. And the Jews had to pray three times a day, and the people would go to the temple for private prayer. And so the Pharisee stood up to pray, which was the usual practice. And you can just imagine, can't you? I can imagine just the way he was speaking. A bit haughty, a bit like, aren't I great? And then he prayed about himself. Do you get that? Informing God of all the wrong things he'd not done. I'm not like other men. Robbers and evildoers and adulterers. Basically saying, I've not stolen anything, I've not done evil, and I've not committed adultery. You might pray that slightly different, mightn't you? So, Lord, thank you for your grace that's helped me not to. But this Pharisee was very proud, very confident in his own holiness, this separatedness that he had. Then he goes on to speak about the religious practices that he had observed, fasting twice a week and giving tithes, as if it was something to be shouted about and celebrated that he was such a good man. I just love it when the offering basket goes past and we just quietly put some money in and let it go past. It's important, isn't it? Our attitude when we come to God. The Pharisee thought he was praying, but actually the only person he was praising was himself. Ooh. And Jesus speaks right into this. So the Pharisees are listening because Jesus is talking to those, And he's making a point. When you come to the God, when you come at the temple, there's a way in which we need to come to God. Because he then goes on and you see the tax collector. The tax collector was almost like the polar opposite to the Pharisee. He was in the corner with his head down, banging his chest. Have mercy, I'm not worthy to come to you. He wasn't near the front. In fact, the Pharisee even makes comment about him being over there. I'm not like him. He was troubled about his own sinfulness and how sorry and how repentant he was. He knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he needed God to forgive him. He knew that he was far from God. So he just said it. This is who I am. I'm not worthy to come to you, God. I'm not worthy to do that. The thing is, friends, nobody can be proud of themselves in front of God, because God is so powerful, God is so holy, and God is so good. But we can, I can, come to God with a bit of a pride issue, thinking, oh, I've had a great week. It's great to be here in front of your presence, Lord. And then we see in Luke's account that the men went home. These two very different men went home. But only one of them had pleased God. And it wasn't the holy, religious teacher of the law. It was what everybody else would have assumed was the crook and the thief. The one that people hated, he was the one who went home pleasing God. He'd been humble and he'd asked for forgiveness. He realized his state and his position in front of a holy God and he acknowledged that. But God was pleased. Friends, our attitude is important to God. Our attitude is important to God. God sees the heart of his followers. And this story, which is wonderful, contains the very essence of the gospel of Jesus. It's the heart of the gospel that God can take broken, sinful people who bring nothing to the party and says, welcome into my family. You can be made right with God, righteous. Being right with God, not because of what you've done, but because of your heart saying that you have nothing to bring. That's what God does. And those listening, those who were confident of their own righteousness, must have been challenged by this. See, I get challenged by this. He spoke Jesus into this whole area of self righteousness, the importance of righteousness before God, being made right with God. That's what's so wonderful about baptisms, isn't it? Two young people saying, not because of anything they've done, but they have been made right with God because they've chosen to follow him, not with all the answers, not with all the great theological degrees and answers that they might have had through years of life, but with just a simple faith saying, I love Jesus and I want to follow him. Paul writes to Timothy, doesn't he? Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example, speech and love in purity. What an example those two young girls are for us as a church, to encourage them and spur them on and learn from them. Learn from them. Nothing better than learning from young people that keep us moving on and connecting with the culture around us. But Jesus spoke, didn't he? He spoke often about righteousness, and he wanted his hearers to understand they've got their complete inability to be right with God through their own efforts. This is the point. A Pharisee who thought, I do all this stuff correctly, here's my list. And Jesus said, actually, It's the tax collector, the sinner, who's just realized his position, that I welcome in with open arms. This understanding was vital if we're to understand Jesus' mission on earth. His mission, to save people who are far from him, to reach into a broken world and bring wholeness and healing, to bring salvation and redemption and hope to those who can't save themselves. I would not be here but for God's grace. Not be here for God's grace. None of us would be. We're all broken in some way. Whether we're high flyers in business, that doesn't guarantee we're not broken. Whether we're struggling with mental health challenges and we just feel broken all the time, Jesus says, I can bring you into the family. I can make you whole. I can reach you where you are. Whether we're suffering with sickness or disease, brokenness, God can overcome the brokenness of this world, because this story tells us that he can. The broken tax collector at the side. See, the Pharisees thought their own goodness was impressive, and it could not fail to make them acceptable to God. They held rigorously to these ceremonies and traditions of the law, making a public show of their religiosity, all to be seen. Actually, it was like a show. It was like they were actors showing off, not to God, but to the people watching. And it worked, didn't it? Because the tax collector in Jesus' story was at the side, feeling intimidated and shamed because of this amazing show that the Pharisee offered. They wanted to be seen by other people who were actually despised and beneath them. That's how they treated people. So, it's quite deep, isn't it? It's quite a simple story, but actually, what is Jesus saying to us? What is it we can learn? Are we a Pharisee? I was talking to Tom last week, and we were talking about Pharisees, and he's talked a lot about Pharisees, because Jesus talks lots about Pharisees. And the hard thing is, when you're speaking, you don't want to say, right, we're all Pharisees, because that's a little bit awkward. But at the same time, we don't all want to say we're all like the tax collectors and sinners and despised and hated by everyone around us. So how do we fit? How do we fit into that? I think there is somewhere we fit. I think there sometimes is a spirit that we can get from these people. We can get a sort of a spirit like a Pharisee. We can behave in a certain way. We can even think, if I pray every day and read my Bible every day, I'll be okay with God. That's a Pharisaic spirit. Doesn't mean it's not good to pray every day and read our Bibles, but if we look for praise because we're doing it, it's that attitude. It's that wrong attitude. Maybe we think, oh, I love it in the prayer meeting when I get to pray out and people get to hear me pray, because I'm quite a good prayer. I've caught myself in that. I've even caught myself counter-praying people. Has anybody ever done that? Someone prays a really humble, simple prayer, and you think, oh, we've got a bit of theology to correct in that prayer. So then you pray this amazing prayer to bring clarity to the theology of this other prayer. I've done it. But that's the Pharisee in us. And then I think, oh, God, please save me from myself. So this Pharisee, self-justifying, it's about works. No elements of confession and humility and praise, all about me. His prayer is all about him. And even the thanks he does offer is designed to make him feel better. But the tax collector stood at a distance, far from the Pharisee, who would have been offended by his presence, and just spoke. Oh, Lord. No, I'm joking. Just spoke his heart. And he was open and honest. He spoke of his unworthiness. before God. He was even unable to lift his eyes to heaven because of the shame that he would have experienced. The burden of his guilt and his sin weighing heavily on him, weighing him down, overcome by his wrongdoing, beats his breast in sorrow and repentance and appeals to God for mercy. I want to encourage us, friends, whenever we come together to pray, whenever we come together to worship, whenever we pray on our own to worship, we've always got something to be thankful for and grateful for and humble for because of God's great kindness and grace towards us. When we gather, let's do it with humility, thanking God that it's all grace. It's all grace. None of us deserved his love. None of us deserved his kindness. Again, maybe you're here visiting today and you think, I can't attain to that. I couldn't do what Tom does and stand at the front and sing and lead people. But Jesus isn't asking you to do that. You might think, I can't even think straight some of the time. I'm confused. I can't wake up in the morning with just out feeling anxious about the day. Or how could God accept me, a broken person? But he does. He loves you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to access his grace and his love. And I think we can learn that from the tax collector here. That no one is beyond the reach of a loving Heavenly Father. No one is beyond God's reach. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's what it's like. Are we humble? Do we access the kingdom because of Christ's work and our humility? Martin Luther, who was a famous German, not Martin Luther King, who was the famous American, but Martin Luther, who was very instrumental in the Reformation, which was the separation of the church from Rome, from the Catholic Church, and the understanding that the Bible is something that we can all access and that we come to faith in Christ through God's grace in our lives. He wrote this. His very final words before he died was this. "We are beggars. This is true." We are beggars. This is true. Someone who lived a life to bring the gospel to many people just understood in humility that compared to God's holiness and power, we bring nothing but our lives as an offering to say, "Here we are, use us, use us." The tax collector recognizes his sinful condition and seeks only the thing that can bridge the gap between himself and God. He says, "Have mercy on me." And God heeded his prayer and answered it. And at the end, Jesus tells us in verse 14 that the tax collector went away justified, made right with God because he had humbled himself before God, confessing that no amount of works could save him from his sin and only God's mercy could. That's how the tax collector went away. And this is the wonderful news of the gospel. How do we approach God? How do we approach God? Humbly. Humbly. If the young people were in here, I would probably say, Jesus isn't your mate. He's your friend. But he's a holy, awesome, powerful, loving, kind, gracious God who has always been and who always will be. That doesn't mean we can't see Jesus as our friend. But sometimes we become over-familiar with Jesus because that's the culturally cool thing to do. He's God. He's God. He died and he rose again, we come to him humbly, offering our lives to say, we bring nothing, we're broken, but you bring everything, and we're free, and we're alive because of it. This is the wonder of the gospel, friends. If we're truly brokenhearted over our sin, we can be assured of God's boundless love and forgiveness. And God has promised in the scriptures, in these accounts, in the Bible, to accept us, to love us, to make us alive again in Christ. And so no amount of good works, church attendance, praying, reading the Bible, can gain us that acceptance. But they are all really good things to help us to grow in our relationship with Jesus. In fact, they're really important things. Being part of a local community where people can encourage you and speak truth into your life. Being someone who understands the Word of God and reads it, not because you have to, feeling as if your arm is twisted up behind your back, thinking, if I don't read my Bible today, God's going to think badly of me. Because that's a lie. We need to break that lie, all of us. What we can say is we get to read about this amazing Saviour, the wonderful truth that he has got for us. And it brings us freedom and life. Praying regularly. Praying is such a wonderful thing that we get to do. It's communication with God. It's communication with Jesus. It would be like me being married to Em and never having a conversation with her. Prayer is a holy transaction, but it isn't just a holy transaction. It's a communication with God. We would have a very, very strange marriage if we never spoke. But by talking to each other, encouraging one another, it grows our love for each other. And that is the same in prayer when we come humbly to Jesus in this way. So this is why God sent Jesus to die on the cross. And his death is the only work that is able to cleanse us and make us acceptable to God. And so as I come in to finish, how do we approach God? Firstly, humbly. Humbly we come to God. Secondly, I want to encourage us, let's not make the mistake of trying to compare ourselves to other people. You see, I'm really, really, really good at being me. I would be really, really, really rubbish at trying to be Chris. And Chris would be probably rubbish at trying to be me. But this is what happens. We try and be something we're not. Let's just come as ourselves, gaining confidence that we're children of God, not that we're something we're not. You see, sometimes we try to justify ourselves by comparing ourselves to other people. That's what the Pharisee did. Well, I'm obviously better because I'm not like him. I want to say, we can even be self-righteous in our criticism of self-righteous people. Have you ever caught yourself doing that? Trying to think of an example that's not political. It's really hard. Thank you, God, that I'm not like that person. Insert the person you're thinking of right now. It's hard. There might be people in leadership positions, presidents of countries, that we might be thinking, aren't I glad I'm not like them? And actually, it's a self-righteous attitude in ourselves that puts ourselves in a place of, well, I'm better. I wouldn't do it. Have you even done that? I wouldn't do it that way. That's okay, you can say that. But if you do it in a way that puts yourself up, makes your ego feel a bit better, that's self-righteousness. I find myself, this is like a counselling session, isn't it? For me, I find myself doing it. Thinking, oh, I wouldn't do it that way. Or that person's such a terrible leader. Or you might be thinking, oh, at least I can pray more than a sentence. It's so easy, friends, to get critical because it makes us feel better. Because the reality is, we're probably mostly all a bit insecure. Thinking, wow, I've got nothing to bring. That's okay. Just come with that. Come with that. The Pharisee prays, thank you, God, I'm not like bad people. Our prayer might be, thank you, God, that I'm not like those self-righteous people. I just want to say, let's be careful. Let's not just do what the Pharisee does, but with a different group of people. As good Christian people, it can be easy to do. And our standard of comparison is not other people, it's God himself. Because we all fall short of his glory and his holiness. So we see how to approach God is such an important lesson. That's why Jesus tells this parable. Now, I did make a joke earlier, but I've put in my notes. Now, I don't know if anyone here are tax collectors, because I was a little bit sort of scathing earlier. Sorry. I don't know. I don't think any of us are tax collectors. I'm pretty sure none of us are actual Pharisees. But we do need to watch our heart and motives when we gather to a holy God. We always need to look on others more highly than we do ourselves. More highly. Not with an imposter syndrome, not with this sort of, what's that phrase? Humility, false humility. We can sometimes come with that attitude. We just need to come as ourselves, thinking of other people more highly than we do ourselves, realizing that we're coming to a holy God and we can never be like him completely, and that we need to remember that compared to his absolute holiness, we fall short and only come to him because of his amazing grace and wonderful mercy towards us. That's what Jesus is trying to say. But also, friends, remember, we also come to him as his precious children. Loved and accepted because of what Jesus has done. Now, Joseph's in the room, Zachary's not, so he hopefully won't be embarrassed. But when my children come to me and say, Dad, I would like, or Dad, I feel like this, we don't have a 5-minute conversation checking the checklist of all the things that they've done to make me love them that day. We don't do that. When Joseph or Zachary come up to me and say, Dad, and if I'm being a good dad and not too busy and tuning out, I'll say, what is it, son? What would you like? And that's how God views us, because we're his children. So let's come boldly, let's come confidently, and let's come humbly to God when we worship together, when we pray together, when you've got a prayer meeting. Well, you could even try something like someone prays out for the first time and you go to the meeting and say, I loved it that you prayed out earlier. Keep going. That really encouraged me. And it might not have been the most eloquent prayer in the world, but they've taken a step and we get to be their cheerleaders. We get to be their encouragers. We come as God's children. And as we've said, as we've seen from the baptisms today, as we've spoken through these words in Jesus, let's remember it's all grace. It's all God's grace and kindness towards us. It's all because of Jesus. He takes the most broken and makes them whole. He loves the outcast and the sinner and the tax collector. He loves you, and I'm so glad he loves me. And he just wants us to come with a thankful heart, ready to meet with our loving Father. Let me pray as the young people come back in. Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence as your children. Lord, we thank you for this story that Jesus told of the tax collector and the Pharisee. Lord, we ask, would you help us each where we are now to learn what you have for us from this story, this very simple story. Lord, forgive us if we sometimes can be a bit critical and try and make ourselves feel better. Lord, for those of us who feel broken and feel far off from you, would you help us to come into your presence, knowing that you love us as your children? I pray that you'll help us here at Hope Church, to be people that are so accessible to people, to others around us, that we're so loving and kind and encouraging. Lord, that we can welcome anybody and everyone in to this family and show love and point them to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, for anyone here today who's visiting or may not be walking and knowing you yet, I pray that as they've seen these baptisms, as they've heard this story from Jesus, Lord, they will see that they don't need to be fixed before they meet with you, but they just need to be themselves so that you can work in their hearts. Lord, we thank you for your grace towards us and ask, would you help us to know how to approach you with humility and confidence. In Jesus' name, amen.